Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. We would like to thank you for tuning in. Join Apostle Christopher and Prophetess Crystal McQueen for a time of teaching, learning, revelation, and impartation as we go through the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, develop, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call in to the broadcast at 718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the broadcast. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkrm.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and see our upcoming events. While you're there, click the media tab during the broadcast to watch us live. We encourage you to become a vision partner with us. Our vision partners stand with us with their prayers and financial gifts, allowing us to spread the gospel across the United States and around the world. The way to true prosperity is to help and to give to the poor. Your financial gifts will help us to do more to be a blessing to those who cannot do for themselves. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome once again to Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. I am your hostess, Dr. Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and I'm so glad that you are here to join us tonight. I want to start at the book of Isaiah 55, the book of Isaiah chapter 55, and I want to begin at the 6th and the 7th verse, just two scriptures in our hearing on this evening, and following that, we'll go into prayer. Amen, and then we will go into praise and worship and the word of the Lord from our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen. Hallelujah. Once again, family, that's the book of Isaiah chapter 55, starting at the 6th verse. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version tonight. Amen? Amen. And so the word of the Lord says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And his word is blessed on tonight for the people of God. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and bless you tonight for one more day. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your love and kindness. We thank you, Father, for your protection throughout this day. We thank you, Father, that you just allowed our spirits to come in to just thank you once again and praise you. Gave us a mind to come into the house of the Lord to worship you. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our jobs. We thank you for the activity and the fruit of our limbs and our lips. We thank you, oh God, for just being God all by yourself. And tonight, we come into this house once again to praise you and lift you up. We come into this house tonight expecting to hear a word from the Lord. Father, we're expecting lives to be changed. We're expecting minds to be shifted. We are expecting souls to be saved. We are expecting to be the change agents in the earth that you called us to be. Set us on fire, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Set your heart, your people's hearts on fire to yearn after you. Set our prayer life on fire so we will go deeper in prayer for you and for others, oh God. Set our minds on fire. Set our desire on fire for you, oh Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Anoint our head. Crown us with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. As we sing praises to you, oh God, in this place, we will forever and never forget all the great things that you have done. We thank you for pulling us up out of the muck and the miry clay. We thank you for second chances. We thank you for open doors. We thank you for closed doors. We thank you for more grace, more mercy, more grace, and more mercy that surrounds us. We praise your name, oh God. Bless every family member that is here. Bless their homes. Bless their finances. Bless their children, oh God. Bless their jobs. Open doors for them. Let favor rest upon their lives. is in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give your name praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Hallelujah, amen. Glory to your name, God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Nothing my God cannot do.
Nothing to offer my God.
nothing my God cannot do. My God is big, so strong, and so mighty. And my God plans for me, goes beyond my wildest dreams.
Come on, put those hands together as we bless his name on tonight.
Hallelujah,
because we know there's nothing that's impossible for our God to do. We give his name all the praise and the glory that is due unto him. We thank his name today. Say there's nothing my God cannot do.
There's nothing
my God cannot do. Nothing my God cannot do.
Nothing that he can
do. Nothing my God cannot do.
Nothing that he can do.
Nothing my God cannot do.
Yes.
Nothing my God cannot do. Nothing my God cannot do.
Nothing to offer my God.
Nothing my God cannot do. Say my God is big, so strong, and so mighty. My God plans for me, goes beyond my wildest dreams. Oh yes, oh yes, hallelujah, hallelujah, we bless his name tonight. How many of you know we serve a big and mighty God? Hallelujah. There's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing that takes him out of pocket. There's nothing that he does not already know. He has all power in his hand. Everything is in his control. Amen? Amen. We thank the Lord on tonight for all that he has done for us. Amen. If you're just now joining us, welcome to the celebration of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are here tonight for our Bible study, Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. Amen. Glory to God. I'm ready for the word of the Lord. I'm ready to hear. Amen. I'm ready to get my feed on. Amen. My dinner. It's time for me to eat. Amen. We can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that is his word. Amen. And that's where we live and move and have our being. So, family, once again, welcome tonight. Just want to go quickly into our announcements, and then I'm getting out the way so that we could hear the word of the Lord from our senior leader on tonight, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen. Tuesday night, like tonight, is our Bible study night, Family Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute, every Tuesday, once again, at 7 p.m. On Thursday, same time, 7 p.m., is our prayer. Amen. That's where we come into prayer for 1 hour. On Friday night is JAM, Jesus and Me Ministry, which is our praise and worship experience. We are here again, family, back Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Sunday morning worship service. And all roads lead to 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. In Cocoa, Florida. So if you find yourself in the Brevard County area, amen, and you want to have a place to go and prop yourself up and hear the word of the Lord, the doors are open, our arms are open, amen. There's a seat for you right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. We would love to have you, amen. We look forward to you being here with us. We also ask that you would connect with us, amen, on our website as well, amen. www.ctkrm.org. Amen. And while you're there, we ask that you would get to learn more about us and what we are doing right here in the community, right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. We also want to invite you to take time out to go through the archives, family, as well, and hear the word of the Lord. You don't want to miss any of the lessons. amen, any of the services, Women of Prophetic Destiny, different programs that we have here, amen, you can be a part and hear what thus saith the Lord if you're going to our website, once again, www.ctkrm.org. And if that word, if any of those words are ministering to your life, please sow into the Word of God for your life, amen. I promise you it will not return unto you void, amen. Amen. I have witnesses here, amen, that have sowed into the word, sowed into the ground, and have received a harvest. Amen? Amen. So we thank God for all that he has done. So family, with all that being said, those are the announcements. Amen. We have our upcoming events coming real shortly. I want to let you know, please celebrate with us coming up at the end of this month. Amen. March 28th, we will be celebrating our Chief Apostle's enthronement consecration into the bishopric, as well as the enthronement, amen, of Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries, amen. So if you are in the D.C. area, please come out and join us. Not only will he be consecrated, but one of our own who is a part of Kingdom Convergence, Apostle Melanie Howard, will also be consecrated into the bishopric, amen. So we welcome the celebration. We welcome the alignment, and we welcome the expansion. Amen? Amen. So, family, please rest upon your feet. It is time for the Word of God. Hallelujah to the King. Amen. Amen. That's a good place to clap. Amen. Let us please receive, family, none other than our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, as he comes. Can we bless God for his life? Amen.
Come on, let's give God some great praise. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Amen. Come on, as we are praying, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, because in this time, in this season, Lord, you have set us on high. You have elevated us. You have brought us up. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, because we are not beneath. We are not looking and trying to find a way to get to the next level. You have brought us up, and we say thank you. Now, Lord, even now, we ask, Lord, that you would move on our behalf. There are things and concerns that we have, situations that we have, oh God, that we ask right now that you begin to intercede and move in. Lord, it may be something new to us, but it's not something new to you. This isn't something that catches you off guard, because your plans and your purpose for our lives has already been established. And to that we say yes. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes to your process. In the name of Jesus, your decision, your way, and how you want to do it, we simply say yes to you. Now, Lord, I ask that even as we go forward now, open up our eyes, Lord, that we can see. There are things that are obvious that we have missed because we were not focused on them. But, Lord, you have even now made us to be aware of what you have done and which way you have gone. And what you're doing. Open up our ears that we can hear your voice and your instructions for our life in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would touch our minds, that we comprehend what it is you're saying and what you're showing us. We don't want to miss you in this season. We want to be fully involved and fully aware in the name of Jesus. And touch our heart, Lord. Sometimes our emotions are so involved with things that we miss it because we're trying to understand it with our limited faculties. But Lord, you know and you have our well-being in mind. Now, Lord, as we go forward, we thank you in advance for all these things that you're about to do. Every miracle, every sign, every wonder, every deliverance, every healing, every soul that will be saved. Thank you for it now. In advance, in Jesus' name we pray, let every heart say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You know, I ain't said that in a long time. It used to be something we used to say back in the day. Yeah, please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm so happy that you were all seated in the presence of the Lord. Listen, we're excited about what God is doing because this is a season of elevation. Amen. I know this is the first week of Lent, if you will. We just passed the first Sunday of Lent, and there are things that we want to look at as it relates to the crucifixion and the coming of that, amen, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know that we are Christians because we believe, amen, and we follow after the example of our Master, who is Jesus, amen. So with that being said, we're going to look at several things in the next coming weeks as we move closer to Resurrection Sunday. Amen? Amen? Amen. But in a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks, we will be dealing with our Episcopal consecration and enthronement. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Those of you who know, say, I thought you were already apostle and chief apostle. What do you mean, bishop elect and archbishop and all this other stuff? What are you talking about with that? Well, we're adding to our ecumenical foundation the bishopric. Amen. And the reason why we're doing that is because we want to make sure that all things are covered and in order. Amen. Amen. That means that everything for you, as we cover you, all your stuff will be covered and in order as well. Amen. So myself, as the presider of Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries, Kingdom Convergence, and Bishop Designate Melanie D.G. Howard, amen, who was our first assistant, she will be also consecrated as bishop, amen. I will be consecrated and enthroned as the prelate and the presider, amen, the primate, if you will, of our organization. All of this will happen on March 28th, 2020, at 12 o'clock noon, amen. In Washington, D.C., or in Capitol Heights, Maryland. Those of you who are familiar with the area know Capitol Heights is outside of D.C., but you're still in the DMV. Amen? And it'll be at the Miracle Center of Faith Missionary Baptist Church, 501 Hampton Park Boulevard in Capitol Heights, Florida. I mean, Maryland. So used to say in Florida. Amen. Please go to our website, www.ckconvergence.org, or www.ctkrm.org, and you'll learn more about us and more about this as we're getting our invitations and things sent out. We know that for some of you this is a late date, but for you to know, but those of you who know that this is important and want to be a part of it will be here to be a part of it. Amen. Or will be there to be a part of it. So we're just asking you to keep us in prayer, come out, support. Amen. So that God can do what he's going to do for us and you can benefit from it as well. Amen. All right. So let's get in this word for tonight. Excuse me, go to Joel, the second chapter. Joel. Amen. And let's go. Let's go to the 12th verse. I want to read a little bit, but we're only going to deal with a certain verse when we get to it. But I want to read it into context. Amen. Reading from the New King James Version, Joel 2 and 12. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart. Everybody say, rend your heart. Amen. And not your garment. In other words, I don't want the outward appearance of you being sorrowful. I want this to be on the inside of you. Amen. I need to see your heart go through the process. Spare your clothes, rent your heart. Amen. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Amen. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregations, assemble the elders, gather the children in the nursing bay. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priest who minister to the Lord weep before the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O God. Amen, O Lord. And do not give your heritage to reproach, to the nations, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where's their God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied. Everybody say satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. Go, if you will. Let's go back up. Verse 14. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? God's word is blessed. Let everybody say amen. Look at your neighbor and just tell them God is doing something in this time and in this season. It is interesting that as we begin to look at this, that there are things that happen that we look at and we were concerned about. But what God is really calling us to is repentance. I know some of y'all been saved for a long time, and you got to the point where your righteous indignation has become religious at best, but it's not righteous anymore. We have opinions of what is right and wrong when it comes to the things of God, so much that we think better of our own opinion than God's word. Amen. So we're looking at, if you will, whether or not the theology that we want to believe measures up to the theology that is written here. And we have problems with it. Because what's going on is at the same time that we're looking at the Word of God, we're trying to get it to bend. We're trying to get it to relent. We're trying to get it to capitulate, if you will, to what we want, how we want it, how we want to see it, how we want it to really play out, because we have in our hearts and minds something that we're trying to accomplish, and we need the validation of the Word of God in order to put our stamp of approval on it. But God's ways are not your ways. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, it's so high his ways than ours. You can't understand his reasoning and his decision making, because you don't have the mind of God, nor do you have the capacity for it. You can't think on his level. So then we are just left then, not with what he will do for us, but what we need to do for him. Because he can see so much further than us. He can understand and he knows so much more than us. That means that I can't come to him with my plan. I have to come to him empty. And say, Lord, what's your will? Somebody just lift up your hands and say, Lord, what's your will? Now, careful when you ask that question, because when you ask God what his will is, he will answer. And therein lies the problem. What God says is not always what we want to hear. So we straddle a line of how much of this can I get away with without doing what God said and still keep a blessing. No, I know you told me to go, but I'm going to switch where I go. That way I can feel that I'm in some kind of control. And people, we have too many saints that are passive-aggressive when it comes to God. What do you mean passive-aggressive? Well, I'm so glad that you asked. They tell God yes, but then they walk out of no. They tell God, no, I won't be doing that, and then they go and walk out of yes. So what you say and what you do are two different things. It won't be so bad, but you cry at the altar. Paul out. We got a hold up service waiting for you to get your stomp and your praise break. And we got to cover you up with 7 quilts because every part of your clothing slid out one way or the other. And we're trying to cover your nakedness, so that you can work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. And then you get up and do opposite of what it was you clowned on the floor for. Somebody say, Lord, forgive me. You probably say, I ain't fell on the floor. No, you didn't. But in the middle of your problem, you said, Lord, if you get me out of this one, I promise you. Okay. Right in the middle of it, you just said, if let this one pass, I need you to step in right here. I know I create this mess, but you got it. You can do anything. Please, Lord, if you will, and I promise you, all these promises, and just as quick as he breathes upon it, it just missed you. You're like, whoo. And go right back to playing and messing with the thing that caused you to have to cry out to him before. Israel was in this position. Many times God had delivered them, came to the rescue, raised up judges and those that we talk about in the Bible, the Gideons, the Samsons, the Deborahs, the Baraks. We talk about all of them, the kings that he delivered from armies that ran up against him, all the things that God did for his people, and yet and still, every opportunity that they had, they found some way to serve some other God until the next problem. Mm-hmm. So what we have to learn then is not to be passive-aggressive saints, but to learn how to be obedient saints. Amen? You lift up your hands and say, Lord, help me with my obedience. What the prophet here then begins to speak of He talks about repentance. And look at what he says, 12th verse. He said, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your hearts and not your garments." Stop going through the motions of repentance. Stop acting like God really hit you this time. And woo, my life has been changed. And actually change your life. Do you want to know the best way to show somebody that you're sorry? Is do something different than you have been doing, which caused you to ask for forgiveness in the first place. If you are cussing and talking about them, and then you say, "I'm sorry," you stop cussing and talking about them. Amen? If you are doing the wrong thing, then you start doing the right thing. Amen? You do whatever you can to prove to someone that you mean what you said. So here we are. He said, "Don't rend your hearts, rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord." Everybody say that's what repentance is. When you turn. So, what do we need to turn from? Yeah. God help us. Somebody just say, "God help us." I'm going to try to pick this up so we can be happy when we leave. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to be okay at the end of this lesson. Because God never brings a problem to you without a resolution to it. If all you hear is doom and despair and you never hear hope and salvation, then you're listening to the wrong preaching. Amen. Because God doesn't just tell you about your wrong. He tells you about the blood that can remedy what was wrong. The blood of Jesus. Something about applying it to your sinful nature and life will cleanse you and cover you. Allow you the grace of God upon you while you get it right. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. I don't have to be perfect, but I need to be walking in forgiveness. This is something I want y'all to think about. Return to the Lord simply means you left from somewhere and there's a distance to cover to get back. Look at this. Return. Because the time that you turn led you away from where you're supposed to be at. I made mention off camera of someone and a couple of people, and I said, it's a shame that at the point of our elevation and consecration and enthronement, when God is about to pour out blessing upon everything, that is the, y'all have to understand and get this visual. Aaron is being anointed so that he can minister before God to bless the people. And they pour the oil on Aaron's head. And the oil runs down his head to his beard and down his clothes all the way to the hem. It is symbolic of God's blessing upon the man of God in his service to the people of God before him that releases the blessing on everything that he's about. After this happens, Moses and Aaron comes out and they bless the people. What will happen on the 28th is after the oil has been poured and the hands have been laid, my responsibility is to turn and bless the people. Isn't it sad that certain people had other agendas and will miss the blessing? So how did they miss it? They turned when the instruction came. God sent His word, and they turned. God sent His commandments, they turned. God sent His prophets to speak into their life, and they turned. You see what's going on? So if you're going to repent, the first thing you need to do is return. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, we need to return. Returning means that I go back to what I left. And I suck it up. Do you know why people don't want to go back to where they turned? They don't want to hear, number one, I told you. Number two, they don't want to admit that they were wrong. Which is crazy because we're looking at your wreck of life. Because you turned. It's obvious that you messed up. But the remedy is to turn again. Look at your neighbor and say, return. Huh, look at this. The reason why you don't have to worry about I told you so is because all has. I need you to understand that nobody's going to stand in church and be perfect before you and talk about your mess, because all they have to do is look at the other three fingers pointing back at them, and they messed up too. Sometimes they messed up more often than you did. You just stuck with your mess up, and they just kept messing up. Amen? I was telling prophetess this earlier, I said, you know, every success is built upon the foundation of a lot of failures. We look at Thomas Edison and Thomas Ford and different ones and these inventors and others, and all of them have talked about how many times they failed. Thomas Jefferson used this as an example. He said, you know, through my years, I found thousands of ways not to make a light bulb. I need you to think about that. What happened 1001? It may have worked that time. Huh? We looked at a video. A lady, young lady, had been asked to go for a pageant. And she tried, I think it was 6-7 years in a row. Was it, dear? She lost every year. Until the last one. And then she became somebody who was significant. She was the first enlisted soldier to become Miss Washington, D.C., Miss District of Columbia. What happens when you give up on a second try? What happens when you give up on the third or fourth try? Mm-hmm. What happens when you give up on the fifth, sixth try? Just before the person who asked her to get into it died of leukemia, she said, don't give up. Keep working. Everybody said, keep working. There is the problem. Most of us don't want to work because we want it to be given to us. Lord, you said it's mine. I should have it by now. I don't understand why I got to put effort into it. And God say, I'm not giving it to you because you're spoiled already. I've given you life. I've given you favor. I've given you resource. I've given you grace. I've given you mercy. I've given you another chance and another and another. And I'm keep giving you. When are you going to put some effort into this? Well, you said Jesus paid it all. But, yeah, you got to put on Christ. That means you got something to do here, too. For as many as have put on Christ. That means that it's not going to fall upon you and slather itself upon you. You got to make some effort. Do something so that you look like him. Take off the world and put on Christ and start looking like him. You have a choice every time somebody get on your nerves to revert back to who you always been or to work on who he's making you. But you're never going to get to your destiny if you keep turning. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to return. Why do you return? Because when God is moving forward, he's putting himself in your pathway as rewards for your obedience to what he's saying. Sixth time didn't work. The seventh time became the first ever You see that? Some of y'all want the recognition of being the first and significant one. But have you done first and significant trying after multiple failures? I don't understand why I got to keep trying, because God knows what it's going to take to move you out of your mediocrity. Have you tried past your means? Okay, now. Now we're getting to the meat of the matter. We only try what we really believe. Your faith is not even in your trying. You don't put no effort into it because you don't believe it yourself. So when it fails, you are fulfilling a self-fulfilled prophecy in your mind. It ain't going to work, but I'm going to do it anyhow. So guess what? It don't work because your faith is not engaged. Y'all see this? So what God is doing now is God is bringing us to a place where we need to see what return does for us. Amen? If somebody just lift up your hand and say, Lord, show me what return does for me. The Bible says here, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Return puts you back in protective status. Because the enemy is going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And when you turn, he covers you under his wings of mercy and protection. Some of you would not have protection had you not turned. Huh. But it's this next one right here that really gets me. It says, who knows if he will turn? Wait a minute, hold on. That means that if I'm going to return, God has already moved on, but now he can turn himself. I missed that right there. People are talking about if you take one step, God will take two. No. God doesn't have to take a step. His favor, when he looks upon you, he has the ability from where he is. And keep this in your mind. God is not absent from anywhere. He's omnipresent. When you messed up, God was there. When you came to yourself in remorse, God was there. And when you opened up your mouth and said, God, forgive me, God was there. But he can turn towards you. Somebody say, help us, Jesus. Because you've been afraid to come back because you thought that he was going to keep moving and leave you. Who knows if he will turn and relent? Is that what it says there in that 14th verse? But look at these last words here. And leave a blessing behind him. So that means that even at this moment in time when God turns towards me, when I return to him, God is already plotting my blessing. Somebody give God a praise right there. He's already charting out how he's going to bless me. A drink offering, a grain offering, and a drink offering. I mean, he said, because God is going to leave a blessing behind, you need to respond even before you see what he left for you. I looked at this and I said, Lord, so we have a problem because a lot of us won't turn for pride's sake. And the reason why we won't turn for pride's sake is because we're trying to prove to people that we were wrong when obviously we were wrong. Or we were right when obviously we were wrong. We don't want to hear, I told you so. We don't want to have to apologize for doing things that we know were wrong. So by you trying to act like you ain't did nothing wrong and it was the other person's fault, and if they hadn't did this, then I wouldn't have had to do that, and they just as guilty as I. No. You're guilty by yourself. And God is already talking to. One of the things that I found out is that when God deals with those who are mature, he shows us stuff, and on the spot we say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And we just keep on. You still holding on to that thing, trying to make it mean something, and God has already placed it under the blood. Y'all see that? When you say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, at that point, blood covered it. You come back a minute later in the same sentence and say, Lord, forgive me for that. He said, for what? Because I don't see nothing there. Why doesn't he see it? Because when you say, Lord, forgive me, covered and done. What would happen if we learn how to do just that? One of the problems we have is we dwell on the failure. We tell ourselves we need closure from the incident. What we're doing is we're rehashing the moment, trying to figure out if I had did this, what would the outcome be? Do you know the problem with that? It's if your action was wrong to start with, trying to figure out how to do it better still will not help you. That's why you try to get closure on stuff, because you're trying to figure out where I went wrong. So the next time you try it, you can do something different, which is why you keep getting into the same problem, because you were wrong for what you did in the first place. Before you ran into the failure, you were already wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right until God gets involved with it. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to close this out. Isn't it interesting in working on my associates? I went to Eastern Florida State College, and the first thing they did is they said, you know, you're pretty astute, you're pretty smart. However, we want to put you back through math, you know, because there's some things, and those of you who already know that you're smart, know that you have figured out the math you need for your life. Amen. Hallelujah. So they're trying to tell me I'm going to need math. And I told them, you know, I'm almost a century, half a century. I know what kind of I sort of know what kind of math I'm going to need. They said, see, all that you just said right there shows you need to be back taking this course. Okay, I take it. What could it hurt? Okay, So here I am taking a course. And while I'm taking a course, I'm learning things. What I'm learning is that there's different kinds of math. How many of y'all know that there's different kinds of math? I'm just going to say I graduated from high school in 1980. I'm just going to stop there. I'm not going to give you the last number. None of your business. If you know, God bless your heart. Anyhow, I graduated from high school in the 80s. That's already bad to say because some of y'all are trying to date me now, and you're going to get it wrong. But the math that I knew from then is not the math that I took in remedial. How many of y'all know that's some different kind of math? Thank God for Apostle Steve Daly. He said something that was so funny. He said, this is the look that you have when you help your child with their math homework and they bring home an F. And you can't say nothing to that child about the F. Because you helped them. You can't say a thing. So I was studying all this, and I was looking, and I was trying to figure out, and they was talking about the power of zero. Okay? They was talking about the power of negative numbers. All right? Now, this is the thing, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let it go. I want some of you to really get this in your heart and in your mind. When we talk about who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, this is where we get it from. Because one of the things that will always bless you is when you mess up, it's a negative. Everybody said mess up is a negative. How many of y'all recognize when you mess up, you don't feel addition in your spirit? You feel less than, because it takes away from you, all right? And some of us ain't messed up once, we messed up again. This is where it blessed me. God said, I made sure that you understood that the blessing that I'm going to give you is not necessarily from the pleasures in your life. Come on, you and my message. There it is. Because sometimes God allow that negative to get with another one of your negatives. And everybody who knows something about algebra knows that two negatives make a positive. God knows how to take the mess up in your life. And if you simply turn, he'll make your negative the positive that you need. He'll add to you when you thought everything about you was going to take away from you. God knows how to multiply you when you didn't know you had something to multiply. Because that's the kind of God we serve. He leaves a blessing behind him. And this is the thing that I want you to understand as I go to my seat, is that God leaves the blessing behind you so that you will pursue after him. Running after the blessing causes you to pursue after God. So when we sing that song, I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do, we're running behind him because he left a blessing that encourages your next step and your next step and your next step and your next step. If you turn, then God can bless you greater than you ever been blessed. Stop taking your negatives and talk about what you can't do, and let God add your two negatives and make the positives. Because that's what God is doing in our lives. If I talk about every mess up I had, some of y'all would say, well, I don't understand how you can stand here and preach. I just told you that successful people build on their failures. Somebody say amen. So I don't want you to think about your failures as dismissive and disqualifying. I want you to see them for what they are. They are the foundation to the mountain of your success. Because after you have failed so many times, the one thing that you can say at the top of that mountain is, if it hadn't been for the Lord, his favor, his gracious mercy on my side, I wouldn't be here today. Come on, give God a praise.
Amen. Put those hands together one more time and give him glory. Hallelujah. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. Amen. That speech hits differently the older that you become. Amen. Because you realize it's God yesterday, today, tomorrow, next month, next week, and next year. Amen. Amen. So we honor and we praise him for everything that our Lord has done. We pray that tonight that the word that has gone forth has blessed your life. We ask, family, if it has blessed your life, that you will go to our website once again, www.ctkrm.org, and sow into the word of God that has been spoken in this house. Amen. This word applies to everyone, not just us here, but if you are here under the sound of our voices, then this word is definitely for you too. Amen. Amen. Connect with us, family. Let us know what God is doing in your life. If you are in the Brevard County area, join us, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. Meet us here on Thursday for 1 hour of prayer, 7 to 8, on Friday night for our Jam Jesus and Me ministry. Amen. Also at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We are here to conclude the service. Amen. We just want to let you know that we love you all. God bless you, and we will see you again on Friday. Be blessed in his name. Hallelujah. Put those hands together.